This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, WMUK local government and education reporter Sevilla Mann tells us what's on the ballot tomorrow in Kalamazoo County. But first, Encore magazine has turned most of the pages in its May issue over to journalism students at Western Michigan University. They have written articles about what the digital age means for education and college life, the economic need and hunger of some college students, trends in decorating dorm rooms, entrepreneurial ventures, and other topics. Two of those journalists are joining us. Grayson Steele is a junior at Western Michigan University. Carolyn Diana is about to graduate as we speak on Thursday morning. And they are also the students of Western Michigan University Professor Sue Ellen Christian. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Sue Ellen, I'll begin with you. How did you work out this arrangement with Encore Magazine?
So the editor of Encore Magazine, Marie Lee, and I were speaking one day, and as I recall it, I asked her if she would ever be open to having my students write for her publication. And as we started to exchange ideas, it just evolved into Marie eventually saying, it'd be really neat for you guys to own an entire edition, and let's see how it goes. So we started planning that a year ago.
Have you taken on other sort of big projects with journalism students in the past?
Yes. So the 4100 class that Grayson and Carolyn were in is a capstone reporting class for journalism majors. And every time I teach it, we try and offer a special topic or a project so that the students can have a one-of-a-kind experience. Last year, my students were in Art Hop at the Live News Hub downtown, and we did a series called Guns and Us, which featured portraits and interviews with local residents and talked about their relationship to firearms. In the past, we've worked with the Society for History and Racial Healing to interview longtime African-American residents about their experiences with race in Kalamazoo. And we published a book, thanks to a grant from the Kalamazoo Community Foundation. So every time I teach it, try and give the students a real capstone, true capstone experience that brings their reporting into the community and also allows them to do something more creative and enterprising.
So let me ask both Carolyn and Grayson, did you view this as an opportunity to perhaps share some reporting with the broader community that they might not get from, say, me or someone who currently works at MLive?
Yeah, definitely. We saw this as a really hands-on experience that we wouldn't have had the opportunity without our professor and Marie letting us do this, so it was kind of a one-of-a-kind experience in that way.
Yeah, I know in December, talking to Sue Owen in our class, she said, yeah, you know, next semester, if you're coming back, we're writing for a publication, writing for a magazine. And I was like, what? You know, couldn't really believe it. But, yeah, to have the opportunity to actually, you know, have something published on, you know, in print and something you can hold in your hands was a definite incredible opportunity, and it was also cool in a way. It didn't start out as our intention necessarily, but to kind of cover a lot of issues and things going on surrounding Western specifically.
So, Carolyn, you reported on something called the Invisible Need Project at Western Michigan University. What got you onto this story in the first place?
Well, Professor Christian did, but it kind of took a life of its own once we had the idea bouncing around. She just mentioned it, and then it went farther, we learned more about it, and it just evolved into this longer story that included a lot more parts that I hadn't known about, and I don't think Professor Christian knew about either. So it started as like a small idea, and then it just became this huge project.
How big a problem is student hunger and maybe just kind of fulfilling day-to-day needs at this university?
It's a lot bigger than I thought. I'm just an average student here, and I didn't know about the food pantry at all. So learning about it, I learned there's a very big need at colleges and universities across the nation, but also specifically at Western Michigan falls into place with those universities. I think there's like 447 food pantries in universities across the United States.
So is what you found at Western then probably a microcosm of what we would find if we took a big sample of universities across the country?
Definitely.
Speak a little bit as to why there's a need for this, because you did a lot of reporting on that, and she also wrote an op-ed piece for our future president, Dr. Montgomery, that actually grew out of her story.
we found out there was a food pantry, but then we also found out there was a medical fund and a student emergency relief fund. And those all are under the umbrella term of the Invisible Need Project here. The food pantry is necessary. What I learned from my reporting, it's necessary because the meal plans are unaffordable for certain students, and they just can't, they can't afford, there's something that comes up in their lives and they can't afford to pay for the meal plan or get groceries that week. And a lot of students just use it once or twice. It's not a reoccurring thing, but some students do use that to supplement whatever they can afford that month or those couple weeks.
And one of the interesting findings that your reporting showed was that the average GPA of the student who does use the pantry is 3.0, right?
Right. So the food pantry really serves to help students stay here, like in college, on track, ready to graduate. That's what they're really proud of there, too.
Are there some basic guidelines for, you know, accessing food at the food pantry or taking advantage of the emergency fund, using that for an emergency? Are there some basic things that students have to meet or to do to qualify?
The food pantry, you don't have to meet any qualifications. You just have to be an enrolled student. So it's not difficult to access the food pantry. If you go to school here, you can use it every 2 weeks. And the emergency relief fund, I know, is a little bit more of a process. You have to fill out an application to access that.
Do you think this contrasts a little bit with the image that some people may have of college life? You know, we hear about, you know, the climbing wall at the rec center, and that, you know, student apartments now have to have all the bells and whistles and, you know, a rec room and those sort of things. Does this maybe show that there is another side to student life that contrasts with that image?
Definitely. I think what's advertised is a lot different than what actually goes on behind the scenes here. I could tell you all about the rec center and what's in it and all these nice, beautiful things that Western has, but I didn't even know about the food pantry until this year. And I'm a senior, so I guess when it doesn't affect you directly, you don't think about it, but I think there is a need to draw more attention to it because it is an issue, clearly not just at Western Michigan, but all across the nation.
So, Ellen, is that one of the things that you hope that students will do, or find things that maybe fly under the radar a little bit, but people should know about life in college?
Absolutely. And I think that in Carolyn's case, her reporting, she just kept digging and going back to the sources who were also just great sources of information and very helpful in terms of providing her with a lot of statistics and a lot of details so that she could tell the story in a more complete way. I also think that in this case, it helped Carolyn to see that this is part of a much larger story, and so much of journalism and good journalism is tapping into something that's a trend or a deeper issue. And what I hope is it gives them the appreciation that so much of excellent journalism out there has impact for a whole variety of readers and listeners.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. We're speaking with Sue Ellen Christian, a professor at Western Michigan University, and two of her students, Carolyn Diana and Grayson Steele. They are among the students who wrote the articles for the May issue of Encore magazine. Grayson, I'm going to turn to you because you're the primary reporter on the story about what the digital life means for college campuses. What made you want to write about this?
It was the story idea itself was a collective effort, just working as a staff. You know, we pitched ideas to Marie, and some were immediate, okay, let's go with it, and some obviously were, you know, maybe we've already covered that or something of that nature. So I believe Professor Christian and Marie kind of bounced it off each other, this idea of, you know, what about technology and students today? And so they kind of came up with a rough outline, and we came up with, you know, let's look at kind of, you know, three prongs. Let's look at, you know, how is it changing how students are actually learning? You know, how is it changing social life? And, you know, how is it changing just, you know, infrastructure and things here at the university? And so going off of that, yeah, I mean, it was kind of just like getting an assignment, you know, from an editor and just running with it, I guess.
One of the things you tell us in this story is that digital things that we all have, our phones, et cetera, are actually rewiring the brain. Is that the experience that people at the university who have been here a while, the professors you talk to, et cetera, is that what they see, that, that people now kind of think, learn, et cetera, differently?
I definitely would agree with that. I think there's just this need for immediacy, the idea that now with a smartphone or with a laptop, you can get information, facts, figures right now. And so, you know, you want things to engage your attention right now. And so talking with professors, I mean, they definitely, they have discussed and mentioned the challenge of, you know, a kid battling the urge to grab their phone and check it because, you know, your phone, you get, you subscribe to all these notifications for maybe your favorite sports team or for CNN or something like that. And when that goes off, it's, oh man, I want to check it because that's right at my fingertips now where, you know, you might have a lecture going on or, you know, other students presenting, but that definitely, there's that battle. And so, you know, students don't want to read the long textbooks anymore. You know, if there's stuff online, or if there's an online version and control F7 and you can find, you know, keywords and stuff like that, you don't want to do the more laborious ways of college, like the more the lengthy studying methods, I would say.
And one of the things you tell us early on in the article is that the idea of going to the library to study in this day and age is a little bit outdated.
Yeah, I mean, just personal experience. I mean, if you walk through the library now, you know, everyone's on a computer or on a phone, not necessarily checking out books anymore, things of that nature. I mean, and even I myself, I mean, if I go in the library and try to study, you know, and I'm trying to read a book or, you know, get something done, I have that challenge of, you know, your phone's right there and it could be ringing or going off. And I definitely, I think it's changed it because you don't need to go sit in a library anymore to learn things. You know, with the advent of the internet, not that all information is credible, but there's plenty of information out there. So I think that definitely, that turns a lot of people off from necessarily feeling they have to go to a certain space to find information.
Carolyn, you also worked on this story about the digital impact on campus. What are some impressions that you came away with?
So I looked more at like the social life and how technology is affecting social life for college students, which obviously has a very large impact. I talked a lot about Twitter, dating, things like that. It has a very large impact on students in college. Twitter is used to pass along parties or addresses, and Instagram is a way of communicating now instead of talking to someone. Instead of trying to date someone and talk to them in person, you just use a dating app. So it all affects us every day.
But there are some concerns raised in this article that despite the fact that people can be connected to more people digitally, they may be more socially isolated. Explain, you know, what happens here. Or is it just that people are so glued to their phones that they're not talking to people?
I don't think so necessarily, but it probably is true for some people. They would rather like your picture, but then if you see them in person, they don't strike up a conversation. So I think it affects people that way, and they're scared to have that conversation because we're so glued to our phones and it's so easy to communicate through our phones.
Grayson, you mentioned the idea of the infrastructure. One of the advances, of course, is more online classes. Do students seem to like the idea that they don't necessarily have to go to a lecture hall?
I think absolutely. Just the nature of the way college is today, I mean, students are a lot busier, you know, with the costs constantly rising, you know, across the nation. A lot of kids have to work, you know, and even, you know, you see the non-traditional students that are maybe older and they're working and have families. So their lives demand the flexibility of, you know, I can't come in 2-3 times a week for a 2-hour course. But if I can take this online at the little free time I get of each day to come plug out and knock out a little bit of it, you know, that's going to work a lot better for me to progress towards, you know, the goal of a degree. So yeah, I would absolutely say, you know, just the way people's lives are now, everyone, you know, you have to have some sort of job to help afford all of this. So you don't, you know, if you don't have to spend the time in there, if you can do it a quicker, maybe more efficient personal way, why not?
What about the professors? Do they like more online opportunities for students, or would they rather have everybody in a classroom for X number of hours?
I mean, I'm not a professor, so I can't.
But the ones you talk to.
Speak to that, but yeah. It's mixed reviews. Professors like it in a way that they're they're happy that students can fit it into their schedule, and you know, it works better for them. You know, it's user friendly, but at the same time, there's troubles with, you know, if a student's struggling with something, you know, an email conversation is not going to be as effective as face to face, and sometimes just that that classroom environment. You know, we talk about distractions. That classroom environment can have a degree of focus where you feel, okay, I'm in the classroom. This, you know, there's a teacher in front of me speaking. Time to lock in, as opposed to, you know, if you're on your own sitting late at night in your apartment, you know, I need to plug this out. You're more likely to go run and grab a snack or, you know, watch TV or something like that. So, but yeah, overall, I would say it's mixed reviews. I think it's professors have asserted that it's great, you know, for the convenience side of things. But at the same time, it's a lot harder to really engage with the students and really especially help students that may be struggling.
So we've talked about these two particular articles. Sue Ellen, can you maybe give us a quick recap of the other stories that people would find in Encore that the Western journalism students worked on?
Jay Penny did a really interesting piece on the sculptor of the new seal that is in the roundabout near Sangren Hall. And he also brought together our series on dorm rooms today and the decor of dorm rooms, which everyone contributed to. And he was our lead writer on that and brought some really interesting perspective by visiting the WMU archives and getting some classic photos of men smoking pipes in their dorm room in the 1950s and so forth. So that was just really fun to look through those old photos and scrapbooks and yearbooks to find those. And Samantha May did two really fascinating pieces. She found herself. One is on a junior from the Hayworth College of Business who has his own business selling socks, bamboo socks. They're made of bamboo, and he tie-dyes them and sells them online and has launched his own business, and it's viable. And she also found a really interesting piece on a project at Millwood Middle School that uses yoga in lieu of detention to help students deal with behavior issues. And Sam Marksey did a really interesting piece on a staffer here, an administrator at WMU, as the backstory. And she also did a piece on a performance major from our music school who uses the cello in really interesting and innovative ways.
So Ellen, I want to ask you, what do you think the experience does for the students that they get the opportunity to write, report, and do everything for something that then is not in a student publication, but something that the community at large has interest in, access to, et cetera?
One of the great things about Kalamazoo is that they support WMU and vice versa. And I think this is a great example of that kind of collaboration where Encore and Marie Lee were open to this idea, and they also saw it as an extension of what they do with Encore, which is tell community stories. And so the fact that they let WMU journalism students who were ready to take on the challenge create and take over their entire edition, I think, is in keeping with their focus on telling the community story in a variety of ways. I also think that it's a wonderful opportunity for Western to be able to showcase the excellent talent we have here and to allow the students to take their storytelling and reporting to another level. And I think it reminds Kalamazoo citizens that journalism matters.
Carolyn Grayson, let me turn to both of you, and I'll start with Carolyn. What do you think you got out of this opportunity to write for Encore Magazine?
Well, I told Professor Christian that I learned more from this opportunity going out into the field and talking to people and figuring out what to ask them and the questions to interview with and all those sorts of things. I learned more from doing that ourselves and having it all be on us and having this experience. I learned more than I did in any other class here. I think it was a really amazing opportunity for us to learn, especially because I'm graduating, what it's going to be like in the real world out there reporting.
And Grayson, what did you get out of this opportunity?
Well, I think the biggest thing was just the biggest difference as opposed to a class assignment. It was just the accountability factor. I mean, you're actually, this is going to be published, you know, and they're counting on you, you know, this community magazine that's been around for years. And to have the opportunity to contribute to that that wonderful product was something special. And definitely, you know, just getting out in the community and really, you know, finding the story and then, you know, being able to deliver it. It was something that I definitely, you know, I've never worked any harder on something as I did on this, you know, just because that opportunity, you know, we knew it was a unique one and it's not going to happen very often. And, you know, along with that, you want to be in good service of the community. I mean, that's what journalism is about.
By the time people hear this, Carolyn, you will have graduated. Grayson, you still have another year at Western ahead. But as we speak right now, do both of you think that you want to pursue journalism as a career?
I definitely do.
Grayson?
Yeah, absolutely, without a doubt. You know, I know that there's a lot of different messages around and, you know, journalism going away and stuff like that. But I think it has a function in society and it's important. And I absolutely, you know, I was set coming in as a freshman. That's what I wanted to do. And everything that I've done here has only made me feel that I've made definitely the right decision.
Sue Ellen, you and I have talked a lot about what the journalism industry looks like now and what it might look like in the future. When you're talking to students who are perhaps maybe not quite as committed to the idea but think it's interesting, but maybe I could do something else, what do you tell them?
I tell them that journalism is more than the newspaper that might not show up in your parents' driveway anymore, that journalism is, first of all, teaches you portable skills that you can use in a variety of media settings, and it teaches you critical thinking for life. And I believe it's one of the best ways to preserve our democracy. And so Western has a real tradition of trying to engage students in to be good citizens, to be truly in the world as and engaged in terms of the civic life of their communities wherever they end up. And I think that journalism helps students to learn that. And I'm thrilled that of the students who worked on this particular project, one starts her full-time job on Monday. She graduates Saturday, and she'll be writing for the Three Rivers Commercial News as one of their lead reporters starting Monday morning at 8 a.m. So everyone has had job offers and chosen to do something else or is going to continue in school. So they, you know, there are jobs out there, and there's a good future in journalism. It just looks different.
Do you think that students are still enthusiastic about journalism, the ones who show up? Or, you know, is there any apprehension because they hear the stories of, you know, layoffs? I mean, as we talk on Thursday, yesterday, ESPN announced that they are letting go 100 people or so, some of whom are probably pretty well known to people who follow the network regularly. So that's kind of the background. And do students react to that, or, you know, do they still have a real passion for what they're doing?
I think students' parents react to it, and so that students' parents are more aware than students of, in their lifetimes, they've seen journalism change considerably. And I think students actually come in saying, I love to write, or I love to tell a story, or I really love talking to people and telling their story. And those are the ones like Carolyn and Grayson and Jay and Sam who you don't need to convince, they walk in with that DNA. But I think for many students, journalism becomes an excellent tool that they use in service to a different discipline, in telling the story of the environment or telling the story of what's happening in history or in diversity. So it's a great pairing for a lot of majors as well.
Sue Ellen Christian is a professor of communication and journalism at Western Michigan University. Five of her students reported and wrote stories for the May issue of Encore magazine. We have been joined by two of those journalists, Grayson Steele and Carolyn Diana. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much.
Links to the May issue of Encore magazine can be found at WMUK.org.